turn with me now to the epistle, first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3. My title is taken from the word of the Apostle Paul. In verse 3, he asks the Corinthian Christians, "Are ye not carnal?" And it is repeated in verse 4, the last part of it, "Are ye not carnal?" So are you a carnal Christian? Now when the Apostle Paul wrote that, it is not so much that he wanted to put the Corinthian Christians to shame, but indeed it is out of a pastoral heart, out of a desire to be a blessing to God's people, that he needed to ask such a question. And indeed, you know, some of us may think that it is too bold for him to be so direct. Well, if you were to recall the things that were happening in the church at Corinth, that you would understand his concern and desire for the people of God. So I want just to give you some, to recount to you what he has written so far, and that what has happened to cause him to address the people of God in such a manner. Remembering that he is calling them, "My brother," you know, that he is not chiding them or accusing them in a wrong way, but rather out of love for them and for their well-being. Now, you recall that in chapter 1, he wrote to the Christians at Corinth, reminding them that they are the church of God and that they are sanctified in Christ Jesus, the verse 1 of chapter 1. And that they have been given all the blessings of salvation like all other believers, and that they have the privilege to call upon the name of Christ, their Lord and Savior. And that in verse 5, you find that he reminded them that they are enriched, and in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. And verse 6, that the testimony of salvation, the power of God is working in their lives, is confirmed. And that, as you can see, to the extent that in verse 7, he reminded them they are behind other believers in no gift. In other words, they are on equal standing. They are equally blessed by God, and that there is nothing discriminating towards them, but rather that they have been given all the privilege. And then you can see in verse 9 that God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is the blessed privilege or the blessed gifts that have been given to the Corinthian believers. Yet, the Apostle Paul, in that chapter, had to deal with the problem in the midst, and that is the matter of division or schism. You know, in spite of them having received such an unspeakable gift, you know, very often we think of salvation as just not going to hell to suffer eternally. But salvation is more than that, more than just not going to hell to suffer eternally, but rather that we have received the unspeakable gift, which is the only begotten Son of God, and that God has given him to us. And that when you receive this gift, there are attendant blessings together with this gift, and it is unlimited, it's boundless. And yet, having received this, the Corinthian Christians, instead of, you know, entering into this and have fellowship with God, the Creator of all things, and thus to enter into God's will for eternity and live their life in such a manner, not only to enjoy all the spiritual blessings, but also to appreciate, to be able to experience all the glories of God. Well, instead of living their lives in that way, after having received all these things, they were focused on people, on leaders who are men. Now, There's nothing wrong in having men who are leaders. But when such men are being placed on a pedestal and to begin to be looked up to, and that they begin to take the place of Christ in the life of believers. And so this is what happened in the lives of the Corinthian Christians. And so the Apostle Paul was really grieved by this. That he reminded them that if they have understood the salvation in Jesus Christ, and if they understood what God has given to them in Christ, then they would not waste their time in parties to divisions, to follow after men. And these men, by God's grace, should be leading them to serve God and God alone. And so he was so focused on this, to the extent that he said, when I came to you, I'm not interested in anything else except Christ and Christ crucified. And then he went on to show them that why this is so, because within that glorious gospel of Christ and Christ crucified contains all the wisdom of God, let alone his power, his righteousness, his holiness, his justice. All that is God, that is glorious, is contained within the gospel. And that it is to be understood by the wisdom of God through the operation of the Holy Spirit. So you find that was the background. That after reminding them all these things, dealing with this problem of division amongst them, and he needed to deal with them. It's the reason why that in spite of you having received all these, like all other believers, that you are now in this state. Simply because you have a condition, as described in the first four verses of chapter 3. That you are carnal. And I, brethren, address them as fellow brethren. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. So one of the reasons why, in spite of them having received such glorious gift from God, is because they are unspiritual. And that they are carnal. And that they are as babes. In verse 1, even as unto babes in Christ Jesus. So he said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. Yes, when he came preaching the gospel, they received, they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he fed them with milk. From that time up to the time when he wrote to them in the letter, he said, you are still babes. I still cannot feed you with meat or solid food. For ye are yet carnal, in verse 3. Yeah, so now you are still not able to receive solid food. Now, I want to go a little bit into this matter of babes and milk, and that we seek to understand a little bit, so that through what the Apostle Paul has written here, that we can learn some lessons for our spiritual lives. And to understand this a little bit further, I'd like to turn you to Hebrews chapter 5, the Epistle of Hebrews, chapter 5, from verse 12 to verse 14. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is used unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, these Corinthian believers were described as babes. And what are the characteristics of babes? Well, they can only drink milk. They cannot take solid food. Right? Because the system cannot take it. They cannot bear all these things. So, by the same token, when a Christian spiritual life in the state of babe, or like a baby, they're not able to take solid spiritual food. So, what is the milk that these believers were still using? What does Paul mean by milk? You look at verse 12 of chapter 5 of Hebrews, it is said that the first principles of the oracles of God, and that is the milk that the Apostle Paul has given to them, the first principles of Christianity, you know, that you have sinned, that Christ has died, and that He has delivered you, forgiven you and delivered you from your sins. Now these are the first principles. Now, when you think about this, what else can you understand? If you were to look further on, you will see in verse 13 that if you use milk, you are unskillful in the word of righteousness. Alright? So to understand this a little bit further, it is important not to have the wrong idea that when you hear this about milk and first principles, thinking that if you are a mature or you are, you know, stronger in your Christian faith, then you can leave behind all these things. Because if you were to look further down in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So, you know, talking of this, some years ago, I have a member of a church who come up to me and tell me, Pastor, why are you preaching all the time the gospel? There was a stage I was preaching the gospel quite consistently, almost every Sunday. And they say, look, you know, well, you look at a church, most of us are Christians. And if you keep on feeding us all this, you're like feeding us milk. You know, you're talking about salvation and all this, and milk. And how can we grow? How can we, you know, we want solid food. So we do not want all this ABC. Well, what do you think? Do you think he's right in asking me? Well, he's right to come and talk to me. In fact, I always appreciate Christians and believers who, after hearing my message, would come and talk to me and ask me questions. Or even go to the extent of pointing out my fault. You know, and I really appreciate if you can tell me, look, Pastor, you're preaching heresy. And really, if I am preaching heresy, I needed to be told. I needed to, you know, to know that I'm doing the wrong thing. But by God's grace, I would seek to be faithful to His word. So anyway, he came and asked and told me this. And I told him, I said, look, you have not understood what the writer to Hebrews has written or what Paul has written. Now, when you talk about leaving the principle, doesn't mean that all these ABC, you can forget about it. You know, in fact, I told him that for you to get to XYZ, you have to start with ABC. And after XYZ, you arrive at XYZ, ABC doesn't mean they are gone. They are actually the solid foundation of all Christian life. Now, what the Apostle Paul or the writer of Hebrews meant was this, that with the first principles, you are not using it in the right way. You're not using it properly. You're not using it decisively and determinedly to show the world what you have received from Christ. Now, as you can see from verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 6, leaving the first principle of doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So in other words, become maturity, become perfect, mature. And in what sense? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on the hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. What the author meant is this, that with all these doctrines, all these first principles, you are not decisive in the way you deal with sin in your life. You're still uncertain. Oh, you know, I've been habitually doing this. Now I'm a Christian, I need to turn away from all these things. And you're not sure because sometimes you enjoy some of the things that you do, isn't it? But then if you realize that it's actually sinful, well, you know, some of the things you read on the net or some of the things you read in books, what kind of books are you enjoying? And if those things have a tendency to describe in a morbid way sinful activities and you enjoy reading them, well, no harm in knowing what's going on in the world, yes. But if those things take up a large proportion of your time and energy and attention, to the extent that you are neglecting to deal with it in your life, to get on to living for Christ. Now that is having milk. You have the first principle, and you do not know how to use what Christ has given to you, forgiving you of sin and delivering you from sin, so that you can say no, so that you can turn away from all these things and to do that which is right, decisively. So you won't say, God, you know, is it okay? I go and buy a lottery, you know, just once for once, or it's okay if I just go and gamble, or it's okay if I just do this and that, which is not right, as you know, especially sexual sins. So you find that these are things that if you are not determined to use what God has given to you in Christ, you know, and turning away repentance from dead work. You know, these are the first things that you need to settle in your life. When we first came to the Lord, there are a lot of things we have to clean house, so to speak. I don't know what you have done, but for me, by God's grace, I've thrown away a lot of things. You know, literature, cigarettes, alcohol, and gambling. And in fact, I went out and my friends say, here, have a cigarette. Because that's what we do. We see one another, we offer. I said, no, I'm now a Christian. I do not engage in this. Thank you. Say no. These are the first things. And if you do not clear your house, you don't do all this, and to move on to perfection, you find that you are still like baby drinking milk. So, when you do this, you are not discerning, you're not exercising yourself to discern both good and evil. You can see in verse 14 of chapter 5 of Hebrews. And if you are not exercising yourself to decide, to be determined, or to discern evil and say, look, this is wrong in God's word, I'm going to do that which is right. Not so much that you are gaining God's salvation, but rather you have the salvation, you're doing it. And if you have the salvation, you're not doing it, you're like a baby. You know the principle and you're still fumbling around, not doing that which is right. So that is what is meant by faith and the first principles. Now, this is what is happening to the Corinthians. Now, I'll go on to show you that another characteristic of this carnal or immature Christians, apart from being babes, is that they do not walk. They walk as men. They walk as men. Now, what let me have this, I'll go on. But here, let's come back to this matter of babes and milk. So, once you realize this, do not think that, you know, now that I'm a Christian, I've been in a church, or I've been attending churches, I'm in services, Bible studies, and doing all these things for so many years, 5 years, 6 years, or 10 years down the road, then I can do away with all these things. No. You should never cease to marvel at what God has provided in Christ Jesus. You know, as He has determined earlier on in chapter 2, that you know Christ and Christ crucified. How much do you know about Christ? In my previous messages, I challenge you to think of some of the things that Christ has, God has revealed through Christ, the mysteries, the things that God has provided in Christ. Now, the more you understand it and grasp it, the more you will realize that how foolish it is to behave like the Corinthians, to be parties to divisions, to be, you know, what are the things that we need to go on, need to be aware of, if we can just be determined in our mind. Now I know that I've been saved. All these sinful things I want to do away with. I want to move on. And as you move on, you find that the more you exercise spiritually, the more you get to know God and His grace and His power and His blessings. This is what is happening in the life of the Corinthians. They allow this to prevent them from moving on. And instead of moving on, they get involved in all these divisions and all the foolishness that went along with it. Now the second reason why these Corinthians, in spite of having been given all the blessings in Christ, did not benefit from what they have received. Okay, the first reason is because they were babes still needing milk. The second reason is that they walk as men. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. I.e., yet for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, what does it mean by this? Well, to put it simply, it means that you're walking as natural men without the Spirit of Christ. In other words, you are walking as an unbeliever. You know, as far as the Apostle Paul is concerned, either you are a believer who have been born again of the Spirit of God, having the Spirit of Christ, or you are an unbeliever, still dead in sin and trespasses. And so he said that one of the reasons that is preventing you from benefiting from the blessings that God has given to you in Christ, and that you're not benefiting from it, so that you are overcoming all these things because you are walking as men without the Spirit of Christ. Men without salvation. A natural man. Now that is what you need to understand. Now, to understand this further, I would like to turn you to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. For ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, before he came to this verse, Paul was talking about carnal mind. Okay, the mind that is up after the fleshly things. And he's talking about spiritual mind, the man who walks after the Spirit of life. So, the only reason why, if you want to walk after the carnal thing, you have a carnal mind, is death for you. But if you walk after the things of the Spirit, it is life. But how to be able to do this is only when you become a man with the Spirit of Christ. So that means you are born again, you have salvation, you have received the blessings of God through Jesus Christ. You have His Spirit. So with His Spirit, you are able to walk after the Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, you can't, because He is not with you. So, for those without the Spirit, will walk after their carnal mind, their fleshly mind. So in other words, they will give in to all the lusts and desires of their flesh. Whereas a believer will overcome, so that their life will be able to live in such a way to glorify God and to be fulfilling God's will. So this is what you need to grasp about the Corinthian believers. Now, for them, not that they are not believers, not that they do not have the Spirit of Christ, but rather they have the Spirit of Christ, but they do not walk after the Spirit. They let the things of the flesh control them. So much so that the way they live their life is like a man without Christ, man without God. So let me ask you this question. If you were to ask yourself, if people were to look at you, would they think that you are a Christian? Would they know that you are a Christian? You know, it would be more than just the words that you tell them. Oh, I'm a Christian. But by your life, can they see that you are not following the ways of the world? That you are not following the things of the flesh like they do? Now, frankly speaking, some people have even said, oh, I'm more Christian than the Christians. They are not believers. It is a terrible judgment, isn't it? Or indictment from the world. If they think that they are better than you. Yep. In fact, it has been said by Mahatma Gandhi that the Christian teaching, the Bible teaches well. You know, Christ is a good man. But it's unfortunate that Christians do not live their life according to the Bible, to the teachings they believe. Yes? Here's a famous example of unbelievers looking at Christians making such a statement, making such a judgment. It's important for us to realize this, because when we walk as men, then we are actually, you know, one of the reasons why we do not benefit from the gift of God is because we live our life like men in the world, like unbelievers. So you and I must be careful of this. And this is what happened to the Corinthians. Now, turn to Galatians 5 and you'll see in what way they're walking after the flesh. So you will look at verse 21 of chapter 5, Galatians. Verse 19. Okay. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. What are the works of the flesh? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are the things of the flesh. These are the things that the men of the world fall after. These are the things that unbelievers do. Now, Paul said to the Corinthians, you are walking like this. Why did Paul come to this conclusion? Because if you turn back to Corinthians chapter 3, you'll find that he said that, look, in verse 3, envying and strife among you. Okay? And you can find it in Galatians 5, 20 and 21. Strife is found in verse 20 and in verse 21, envyings. Now, all these are the things of the flesh. And all these are things that will block you from benefiting from what God has given you so gloriously through Jesus Christ. So now, this is what the Corinthians were experiencing. Paul said, after looking at what you have received in Christ, by right, these things shouldn't happen to you. By right. You know, you should be moving on in a glorious way, serving God and edifying one another in the name of Christ. Instead of that, they have divisions. They have problems and difficulties. They have striving, they have envyings. It leads to a lot of problems. Now, this is something that you and I need to take seriously. You know, sometimes we think that, well, if I'm not caught doing all these things, you find that a lot of these things are happening right in our hearts and in our minds. The things of the flesh. Okay, and the only way that you can overcome this is by the Spirit, by the grace of God, through Jesus Christ. Now that is what you need to realize, even as the Corinthian Christians, they were confronted by Paul. He reminded them, you have all this glorious provision in Christ, but now, why is it they're not benefiting? Because you are like this. You are not decisive in dealing with sin and moving on. That you are following after the way of the world, after the way of natural man without Christ. That is not good. Now that is what we need to grasp in this message. You know, some people will say that there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. I'm not sure any of you have heard this. They say that, you know, if you are carnal, you're not a Christian. Because you are carnal, you are in the flesh. Okay, without the Spirit of Christ. And if you have received salvation and you are born again of the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of Christ, then you are spiritual. So there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. Yes and no. You find that you cannot be a Christian if you are not born again. You are still in your sinful flesh without Christ. But if you are born again, you have the Spirit of Christ, but you find that God still allows the flesh to remain. And that you and I are to deal with this flesh. Now this is the problem that Luther actually struggled with before he came to realize his need of salvation in Christ. He was trying to do all sorts of good works. You know, prayer on his knees, you know, doing penance here and there, all just to discipline his sinful life. But to his horror, he found that, you know, no matter how much he disciplined, he finds himself in his own heart. He is not worthy. He's not worthy. He cannot have salvation. He cannot overcome this until God opened his eyes to see that salvation and forgiveness come through Christ. by you trusting in Him and turning to Him, and that He saves you and delivers you from all these. And you rest in that. And after resting in that, you move on, dealing with the flesh. In other words, the way you look at things, the way you react to things, whether it is boastfulness, whether it's pride or envying or strife or jealousy or even other sins, sexual sins. In fact, all sins actually begin right within the heart. And this is what you and I need to deal with. So if you understand this, then you'll be moving on from milk to solid stuff. Otherwise, you'll be still wallowing, you know, this sinfulness and that, you know, that kind of thing, and sometimes even happily going your merry way, following the world, seeing that there's nothing wrong to be like the world. You know, to me, like the world is not just the outward, it's more than the outward, it's the inward, following the Spirit of Christ. And I tell you this, if you were to follow the Spirit of Christ, you will have proper outward behavior. Now when I talk about this, it's more than just the way you dress. It's more the attitude. The attitude that you display. Whether it is proud, boastful, whether it is adulterous, whether it is, you know, hatred, variance, emulations, all these things as you see listed here. Now, you find that if you were to search in your own heart, you'll find the presence of all these things. Do not despair. Because if you have the Spirit of Christ, you are delivered and you can overcome. Instead of being boastful, you know how to humble yourself before Christ, recognizing who you are in Him and what you have received from Him. And you're confident. I can say, I'm confident in saying no to friends who would want me to join them in their sinful activities. Yep. I hardly go to bars or pubs, but some years ago, some old school friends invited me to go with them to a bar or to a pub in Singapore. I struggled in my heart, what shall I do? But I decided to go with them. Not so much to join them in the drink, but rather I just want to see whether I could be an influence or to share with them what God has done with me in my life. So I went there. Of all the people, I'm the only one drinking coffee. They all either had beer or liquor, and we talk. But they only invited me once. They never asked me back again. So, this is things that you need to decide in your life. And you can overcome because you have the Spirit of Christ. Now, when you look at your own heart, you despair because you see the troublesome things that you harbor in your heart. You need not despair. You realize that you have been given the Spirit of Christ. As Paul said in Galatians 5, if you were to walk in the Spirit, or you to walk following the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Think about this. Okay? So it is more than just saying no. Alright? You say no to sin, but you say yes to God and to the things of God. And as you follow the Spirit of God, you find that you will be able to know more of the blessed gift in Christ. You know, as Paul said, Christ and Him crucified. The more you walk with Him, the more you walk the Spirit of God, the more you know. Why am I so confident about this? Well, let me tell you John 16. Verse 12. No, before His crucifixion, after the Lord's Supper, and He spent the last few hours with the disciples, and this are among the many things He spoke to them. In verse 12, He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And He shall not speak of Himself, but He shall, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. That is the Spirit of Christ.
And the Spirit of Christ came at Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. And ever since that time, he is now operating in the world through the church, through the believers. Now, as much as we look at our heart and we see all the sinfulness going on there, we need not despair. We need to just turn confidently and trust and depend upon the foundation that Christ has given to us and build upon it. And as you walk following the Spirit of Christ, you find He'll guide you. The more you know about Jesus Christ, the more you know about His power, His grace, the more about the things of God. So that not only just you know Him, but you need to build your life. You know, as you build your life in this world, you're thinking about how to get on. You know, to get on, you need to study well, get a good degree, you know all your subjects or whatever you're learning so that you can function well in this world. Well, I'm not against that. But I want to put it to you that your life is more than that. Your life is more than just getting ahead in your career so that you can make your money and this and that. That is a very small part of your life. Okay? Ask yourself, if my life right now were to have all these things taken away, okay, all my knowledge about the world, all my career position in the world, and whatever you have achieved or you are seeking to achieve, if you take away all these things, what have you? You have read in many literature, whether it be newspapers or books, that many successful men, when it comes to the point when they either retire or they lose their job, they don't know what to do with themselves. They have no life. And when they were striving and struggling away, what were they doing with their life? They're using all their wiles and all the trickeries they know and just to get ahead, just to take advantage or to have one up over others. And is that the kind of life you want to build up? It ought not to be for believers. So as we consider the Corinthian Christians and the question that Paul put them, are ye carnal? Ask yourself, are you carnal? Are you still a babe? You are not to be. Realizing that you have the solid foundation that in Christ you have His Spirit. You have a spiritual life. Spiritual in the sense that not only you are born again and you are no more dead in sin, but that now you have His Spirit leading you. And you have the whole of eternity open before you, because He will guide you into all truth. He will show you what the glorious things about God. And not only that, how you can be part of it. Now it is my challenge to you, young people, for those of you who are studying here, you're expending your energy to get a good degree, a good education, go ahead. But while you're doing this, don't neglect the development of your spiritual life. You know, I want to put it to you, the more you grow in your relationship with Christ, the more you follow after the Spirit of God, the more you are able to function. And function not just only effectively, but function in a way that will glorify the name of Christ. And that, let me remind you, you are not just building your life for now. Okay? The way you build up your life is not just for time. The few 60, 70, 80 years on earth, you are building your life for eternity. And that God has greater things in store for us in His new heaven and new earth. You find that when you go into the new and new earth, whatever you have learned here actually probably will become obsolete. Maybe even of no use in the days ahead. But what you build up in Christ will last. Your Christian character, your relationship with God, and your relationship with other believers, and all these will move on into the eternal kingdom of God. So now, you know, the Apostle Paul put the questions starkly to the Corinthian believers. Not that he was so angry that he wanted to scold them. He actually wanted them to wake up, to realize their need, to realize that they are actually heading in the wrong direction. They are not following Christ and His Spirit. They are following the world. They are not maturing and going to perfection. They are still wallowing in the beginning of their relationship with Him. Now, to stop using milk, you need to move from there. And the first thing you need to do is to be decisive against sin in your life. And to be decisive that to know that you are building a life not for yourself, but for God. And it is God's purpose to conform us to the image of His Son. So that is the glorious privilege that God has given to us. You know, I want to put it to you. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, what was the temptation that Satan put to Eve? You know, he insinuated to Eve that God didn't want you to eat of this fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is because God do not want you to be like them. Because you eat of this fruit, you shall be as gods. And he was tempted. Won't you want to become better? And why do we have striving? Why do we want to get on? Because we want to be better. Now there's nothing wrong. But if you are getting on in the wrong way, just like Eve was tempted, she wanted to be like God. And that taking the fruit is the wrong way to go about it. The eyes was open. And they saw their shame. Because they have turned away from God. God's way. They are following Satan's way, the world's way, the godless way. Now, for believers, for you and I, we have been given to us. It will be given to us what Eve desired but lost. Now, having received Christ, we are the privilege to be conformed to the image of Christ. We are going to be like Him. Didn't you realize that the salvation you have received is so glorious? Think about this. And ask yourself, in the image of Christ, is it becoming for us to be striving, envious, to be involved in party spirits, instead of focusing all our energy to do that which is right, to do that which is God's will, to build up our life in Him, our life and other believers' life, to glorify and to honor God. And through this, we'll know more and more as the Spirit guides us into all truth. So now, I know this is a message that will take some time to digest. I want to put to you that, you know, as you think about this, you and I have the greatest hope. Okay? You know, Martin Luther struggled. If not for the salvation received in Christ, his struggle would be in vain. But because he turned to Christ, and God blessed him in his life and used him, right, to sound forth afresh the glorious gospel of Christ and Him crucified in the church. And it is our privilege to have this same thing received in our lives. That we too, we should not be behind. We are not behind in gifts, you know, apart from in gifts from other Christians. We receive the same thing. We receive Christ, the unspeakable gift of God. And may you, by the grace of God, be determined to move on from the first things, not like babies having milks, wallowing away, you know, not going anywhere. You can't go anywhere. But be determined that you want to deal with sin and walk after the Spirit of God. And the Lord will open up in your lives greater avenues of service and blessings. You'll get to know Him better and better. And your walk with Him will be sweeter and sweeter every day. Well, shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father,